Grace and peace be to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we're in the final week of our Red Letter Challenge, the final of the five things that, Zach Zender has been teaching us and helping us discover through Scripture. And those being, serving, forgiving, and giving. And today we start the week. Those of you who are participating in your book, the week, starting the week on going. Someone's first words and last words can often be taken with more importance than anything else they say. If you're listening to a speaker or someone, you know, their first words and their last words can be very enlightening to tell you what they're trying to get across. If we do that with Jesus, we find interesting things. His first words in all the Gospels were basically centered around these words: repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And closely followed that with, come and follow me. Come and follow me. From there on, his ministry was about teaching the people and his disciples. His disciples to more depth, the people much teaching. As he sat like on a Sermon on the Mount, the ones where he would be in a boat on the Sea of Galilee and they would be all crowded on the shore, where he was on the other side of the lake and he fed the 5,000. Many times people gathered and he taught them. That's kind of like the being part of what we've been talking about, being with Jesus, listening to his words. They also observed during that time his serving them, the feeding of the 5,000, the healings, those kind of things. And the forgiving. Often, before he healed, he would forgive someone's sins. And he taught about how many times that should happen, and which basically is there is no limit to forgiving others. God does not limit his forgiveness to us. And then his giving of himself, his giving what was due to the tax collectors, his giving health and healing and of himself to others. Then we come to his last words. His last words in each one of the four Gospels are basically the same, and repeated again in the first chapter of Acts, which is a little recap before Luke goes into what happened after Jesus ascended into heaven. And those last words are these in Luke. Well, let's go to Mark first. Mark 16, 15, 16. Jesus says, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. In Luke, it says, it's written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. Behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. You are witnesses of these things. Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the end of the earth. John 20. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. So we have go, and we have several times go. Witnesses, we are witnesses several times. And the power of God would come upon us, and we can witness to the world. Then there's also Matthew 28, 18, and 20, probably the most well-known of the last words of Jesus. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Jesus makes it clear that he is sending his disciples and then sending those who believe his disciples, that's you and me, continuously. Sending us out to be his witnesses. Now, a lot has been made about the Matthew 28 verse, go therefore, okay? I think it's a little interesting, and I think it plays into what I want to emphasize today about being witnesses, that if you translate the Greek into English just in the tenses that they have right there, it's going then, make disciples of all nations. Going. Something you're already doing. Going. I think that's more appropriate for us here today because we're already doing a lot of going. We're going to the grocery store. We're going to the hardware store. We're going to the cleaners. We're going to the kids' soccer games and baseball games and volleyball games and track meets. Track meets are the worst. You sit there forever and your kid's always on the last event, you know, and it's cold. Just did that last Friday, I think it was one of those days. Wednesday, Thursday, I don't know. I get mixed up. Anyway, I hear swim meets are even worse than track meets because you're there all day and still you don't see your kid for about 5 minutes, something like that. But going, we're already going. And in the context of the mass immigrations that are going on and all over, we're already going to where all nations are because they're all here now. Okay? We have many opportunities. But it's not important who we witness to. The important part is that we witness. You will be my witnesses. You are witnesses, and you will be my witnesses. I own a truck. Happens to be a Ford F-150 sitting out in the parking lot. Happens to be a crew cab. I love my truck. It really suits me. And I think, as a general statement, that maybe every family should have a pickup truck. It's so useful, okay? Especially if you have a crew cab like mine. You can still hold the same amount of people you would with a passenger car. Okay? It's got big back seat, lots of room in it in my F-150. And there's all the other truck makers make crew cabs of some kind. I chose the F-150 because I did a little research. I found they have the biggest leg room in the back seat, and that post that's behind the driver's seat is not set so far back that you can't swing your feet in when you get into the back seat. I checked all that out. I also happened to drive when I was in Phoenix visiting my sister. I rented a vehicle, and I specifically rented a pickup truck, and they gave me a Ram 1500. And I liked that one, but I didn't like it as well as my Ford because, again, that back seat was not as roomy. Luckily, my sister has short legs, so I let her sit back there. But anyway, I don't know where she got them. My legs are perfectly fine. But I got another whole story about that, but I'll tell that another time. I like my truck because it allows me to have the best of all worlds. If I need to haul something, I can. If the neighbors need to haul something, I lend them my truck. I have done things for the neighbors, picking up a long ladder that they needed at home for something, but they couldn't handle on their cars. A load of gravel for a guy putting gravel down instead of mulch. I use it for my own mulch. I took some plywood down for another neighbor to his little lake. I'd call it more a pond, down in Brown County, so he could re-floor his pontoon boat. But I can always, again, I got all room for as many people as I want to haul. Take the grandkids, all three of them at one time, and one of the adults. Actually, we can all get in there. It'll hold six, the middle front seat flips up, or somebody can sit there. It's got seat belts for that. I think a truck is a great thing. I love my truck. It's so useful. And if you're thinking about another vehicle, maybe you'd want to think about taking a look at one of those crew cab pickup trucks. I think they're just so useful in many, many ways. And they look good, too. You know, I look good when I'm driving it. So, witnessing. What I just did there is witnessed about my truck and what I think, what it has done for me, and how wonderful that I think it is and what it has been in my life. I honestly love how it rides. I get compliments and I take people to places. Man, this thing rides nice. Rides better than a Cadillac I was in recently. You know? That's high praise, I think. You know? And how roomy it is. And quiet. It is so quiet. I drive a lot by myself, running around here, there, and everywhere. And I find myself sometimes just with a smile on my face about how quiet and how much this truck pleases me. And I thank God. I thank God that I'm privileged to have that wonderful vehicle. Witnessing. Telling about something that is important to you and that you enjoy and that is good for you. Witnessing. Now, I wouldn't just do it out of the blue like I just did, but if the subject of transportation or trucks or whatever comes up with any group that I'm at, I talk about my truck, okay? Because I like my truck, and I think it's very, very good. Witnessing. You shall be my witnesses. Now, it's easier for me to talk about my truck than it is to get into a deep, meaningful conversation about Jesus, okay? But it shouldn't be. I love Jesus more than my truck. You might not think that when I talk about my truck so much, but I do. Jesus is more important to me than my truck. Now, I don't know of any other vehicle. And I've thought about this recently. I've looked at luxury cars. That new Genesis, the new luxury car, intrigues me. I've thought about Infinities because my son drives one, and I got to drive his one time, and it was sporty. It really held the curves and all that good stuff. And I've never had a vehicle like that. There's others. Jeeps interest me, all the various Jeeps and the reputation they have, and Subarus. But I've thought about it, and there's not another vehicle that I've ever run across that I would trade my truck for. And the same is for Jesus. If it came down between Jesus and my truck, I'd have to pick Jesus, okay? He probably drives a truck anyway. So, but we overcomplicate witnessing, and we don't have to. It's simply, what has God done in your life, and why do you like him so much? What difference has he made in your life? Okay. Now, we Lutherans may be at a little more of a disadvantage of witnessing about Jesus, especially around those questions, than others who are part of other denominations, because most other denominations have a defining moment when Jesus came into your life. And so there's a pre-Jesus part and a post-Jesus part. We, many of us, are baptized as infants. I'm one of them. I've never had a life apart from Jesus. I grew up in a Christian home. I went to a Lutheran school. Okay? I've never not gone to church for any significant length of time. Right? I've always had Jesus in my life. He's always been a part of my life. So it's harder for me to relate to, for instance, people who came to Jesus later in life and had a life that was without Jesus for some period of time. I was riding the motorcycle down to what's that place down in Florida where they have the big race all the time? What is it? Daytona. I was riding my motorcycle down to the big motorcycle gathering at Daytona many years ago. And I got to Florida, and I purposely looked up, and there was a Christian Motorcyclist Association that was headed there. They all went to a campground in Ocala, Florida. north of Orlando, and they were going to camp overnight, and they were going to have a little rally, and then they were going to go down and be witnesses down at the Daytona motorcycle gathering to other motorcyclists. And I spent the night camped there, and a lot of interesting people, a lot of rough-looking interesting people driving very loud Harley Davidsons. Okay. And they had a rally that evening, sat, and people, there were a number of speakers, and most of them had a real story to tell of what their life was like before Jesus. Some of them pretty significant, heavy-duty stories. Criminals who had been in prison, guys who had killed other people, thieves, just all kinds of you know, addicted people and all that, and how when Jesus came into their life, everything changed, and how much better it is now, and all that good stuff. Now, me, being a Lutheran all my life, I don't have a story like that, okay? I don't have a story like that, so I've been thinking about it more and more lately. What would be my witness? Well, my witness is what my life might be like without Him. I can't imagine not having Jesus in my life. Can you? I visit the older people and commune them. That's part of my job right here at St. John. And, you know, I get so uplifted by them so often. And I've had, I don't know how many of them tell me, you know, I'm suffering with this right now. I can't get out anymore. I have this pain, whatever. But, you know, the Lord is my strength, etc. And often they would say something like this, I don't know how people survive and cope without Jesus in their life. I don't know what I could. What do people who don't have Jesus do without that hope and that assurance and that presence? Well, that's the kind of story I can tell. And you can too, if you just give it some thought. But witnessing is simply, that's what I just did about my truck, about trucks in general. I think truck is the best way to go. And I'll tell anybody about it who wants to start that conversation. As we are going, we have opportunities to meet people who are hurting in some way, shape, or form. And they'll often let you know. It'll be evident or whatever. Or they'll just share a moment. And if you pray about it, and if you're open to hearing these moments, you'll be surprised how many come up. And so you and I then have an opportunity to say, I understand you're hurting emotionally and physically and all that, and you're wondering, you know, is there any hope or reason for any of this? I want to tell you that I've hurt in my life before and am hurting in my own way now, okay? And my solace, my peace, my joy is in Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior. I know He's always with me. I know He always wants the best for me. I know I have a place in heaven awaiting me because of His death and resurrection and the forgiveness of my sins. And that makes me know that nothing in this world can really hurt me. Nothing. And so, whatever it is, I look beyond it. I look beyond it, knowing Jesus is with me. And you can have that too. You want to come to church with me this Sunday? That's why we talk about there. I'll be glad to pick you up. Or maybe you just leave it at that, or whatever. It's not our job when we witness or when we talk about Jesus, it's not our job to get a confession right there on the spot and look around for some water in a ditch to baptize them, okay? That's not our job. A witness only talks about what they have personally experienced regarding the topic at hand. That's all a witness does. We are called to witness. It's part of being a Christian. We make it too hard. Public speaking is, by the way, the number one fear of most people in the United States. When you take a poll and you have those options down there, number one is speaking in public. Number two is death. So speaking in public is more fearful than death, meaning that if you're going to a funeral, most of us would rather be in the casket than doing the eulogy, which is kind of interesting. Right? And the worst case scenario would be to have to speak at your own funeral. Can you imagine that? That'd be a double whammy. It doesn't have to be complicated. It can be part of the natural conversation. You're not trying to convert anybody. That's God's work. My job, your job, is to witness. Jesus, and you don't have to know everything about God to do it. That's another stumbling block for many of us. We think we have to know all about how God created the world in 7 days and defend it against evolution. Or we think we have to know all the mysteries of baptism or the Lord's Supper or the Trinity or how Jesus could be both a man and God at the same time. You don't have to know any of that stuff. Jesus doesn't expect us to understand him 100%. He simply expects us to trust him 100%. You don't have to explain things you don't know about. Just say, I don't know, I just know this. I have peace and joy because of Jesus in my life. And I can't think of being without him for an instant. Witness. While we're going. We're already going plenty. You don't have to go to South America or Africa or Europe or Japan or China, Alaska, or to those godless Canadians up north. Anybody from Canada here? I'm looking forward to saying that in the 10:45 when Mark is in there. You know Mark Zimmer, he's from Canada. So I'm saving that for him. I really am. Simply a witness. What we know. Jesus has made a difference in our lives. And he holds that out for all. And we're not alone in this. Acts 1:8, before it says, you will be my witnesses, it says, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay? Jesus is sending us out. Right? Jesus says in Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And afterwards he says, behold, I am with you always, to the end of the age. We're not in this alone. Jesus and the Holy Spirit are with us. Simply open your mouth. God will put the words in. Going. Being, serving, forgiving, giving, and going. You're already going. Just take your witness with you. To God be the glory. Amen.